Hey, can I talk to you? Over 25 years ago, on September 29th, 1998, we watched a brainy girl with curly hair drop everything to follow a guy she only kind of knew all the way to college. And so began Felicity. My name is Juliette Littman, and I'm a Felicity superfan. Join me, Amanda Foreman, who you may know better as Megan, the roommate, and Greg Grunberg, who you may also know as Sean Blunberg, as the three of us revisit our favorite moments from the show and talk to the people who helped shape it. Listen now to Dear Felicity on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
This episode is brought to you by Vuori. I love sports. I know you do too. I also know that lots of you exercise. But if you're like me and my wife, the beloved sports gal, you're sick and tired of ugly, uncomfortable workout gear. Especially, you know, I do a lot of walking. I walk around LA. I make calls. I listen to podcasts. Here are two words that will change everything. Vuori Clothing, a line of activewear that is unbelievable. The best thing about Vuori is you can lounge around in it. You can work out in it. You can go outside. You can go shopping down in your local wherever. And you never feel like you're either underdressed or overdressed. You're just comfortable. You can wear it when you're training, traveling, lounging around the house. Go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. Here's the deal. Our listeners get 20% off their first purchase at Vuori.com/Simmons. Once again, Vuori.com/Simmons.
Welcome to Food News. I'm Juliette Littman.
And I'm David Jacoby.
Let's put 30 minutes on the clock.
Yes. 30
if you want to be a part of this podcast, we'd love for you to participate. Give us a call at 646-STEW-138. Now, we're getting into the news. But today, you are listening to this podcast on April 5th, which means we just had to survive April Fool's Day on the internet.
I hate
a lot
April
of corporate
Fool's
jokes.
Day. And I hate April Fool's Day.
I feel confident that everything we are going to be discussing was not part of an April Fool's prank, but I'm not.
However,
I'm not certain.
No.
And so I just wanted to issue that caveat. It's
yes.
Very timely, and I just want people to know we're not fools. I don't think, but
well.
Perhaps we'll find out we are. With that note, let's get started. More timeliness. Apparently, it's an urban legend that anything you cook during a solar eclipse is not safe to eat. Are you aware of that urban legend?
Of course not. And I would say that's a very, very sub urban legend.
It only comes around once in a while.
Yes.
Every few years. And so anyway, as you probably are aware, on Monday, there is a total solar eclipse coming through America on kind of like the eastern side of the country, like all the way from the Great Lakes down through Texas into Mexico. And just so you know, eat freely. There's
yeah.
no special rules for eating during the solar eclipse. But this urban legend apparently is widespread enough that NASA had to put out a release to clarify
yes.
that we're all safe.
So the people at NASA put out a release. And this is one of the many stories that might be an April Fool's joke, but we're not sure.
I'm pretty sure it's not. But
like,
again,
the
maybe.
Actual legend, I'll call it a superstition, is that food that is prepared and or eaten during the eclipse is then cursed and or poisoned. And then NASA went on to explain that if that were the case, all crops in the ground and all your food in the pantry would also be cursed and poisoned because the eclipse does not pick just things that are out and on the table.
Yeah, it's not like an episode of Stranger Things where like something exposed to the sun is
yes.
or not no longer exposed to the sun is going to be damaged.
Exactly. But the fact that NASA had to spend time and energy putting out this press release, I think is really just more of a like trying to build the hype. It's like the pre-draft hype around a quarterback, just trying to build the hype around the eclipse.
I mean, there's so much hype. I think it's built.
Do you have any interest in going to travel to see the eclipse?
I wanted to, but it didn't work out for my
no
schedule.
Way.
Yeah, I looked into it. I looked
what?
Into several options, but it's really expensive. I looked into going to Austin, Texas. Really fucking expensive. Like, there's all these warnings about traffic. Like, It's a thing.
Oh, my daughter last night before bed was like, should we travel? Are we going to travel to see the eclipse? I was like, no. And she's like upset. I'm like,
yeah.
My only eclipse experiences have been like looking at, like, you know, you look through a box or something at the shadow.
You still have to do that.
Wildly underwhelming across the board. Wildly underwhelming.
But you probably weren't in the path of totality. The point of this is that you could go somewhere where it will be dark for 3 minutes in the middle of the day.
Don't give a shit.
Okay, well, I'm with your daughter on this one.
I'm with me on this one.
All right, let's move on. Great headline from CNBC. Guilt tipping is getting out of control, but signs show consumers are pushing back.
So when I saw the headline, great headline, by the way, guilt tipping is in quotes. It's one of those things that's a term that's new that needs no explanation. I know exactly what you mean by guilt tipping.
Yeah, it's great. They then talked about a survey that was done by Wallet Hub and how people are feeling post-pandemic, a lot of tipping fatigue, and that you're now being asked to tip on items that don't necessarily deserve a tip. But yes. Like tipping, because of so much like Apple Pay and using Square and all of these like payments platforms.
Systems, yes.
You can now tip on almost anything. And the question is like, should you? And are you a bad person if you don't?
I have a lot of follow-ups on this, one of which is a list of things to see whether or not you tip. We'll play that game in a second. But one thing I've learned is the digitalization of cash exchanges has led to me tipping much more. And it's also been sort of gamified to make me tip more. Like when I go get soup every day at the same place and they say, because it's early in the morning because I get off work early and they're like, is that oatmeal or soup? And I'm like, soup. They're like, cash or credit? And I go, credit. And then before I scan, a little screen pops up with like 8%, 10%, 15% or whatever, like, you know, another percentage. And I'm kind of like, these aren't my only options, but for me to push custom tip and then give you just a dollar, which is what you deserve, you're just checking me out for some soup, like, it's going to take me too much time and effort. So sometimes I end up pushing like 8% or whatever and tipping them like $2.25 for doing absolutely nothing. It does not deserve a tip in the first place.
I think what you said, though, is like somewhere you go every day. It really matters how often you plan on going back to this place.
Oh, if I have a relationship with the people, I will tip you for nothing.
Yes, exactly.
Waving at me in the morning. Yeah.
So like that makes sense. But I think there's just the sort of default of like, do you want a tip? Like being asked that on every transaction is like irritating. And like, no, I do not want to tip on every transaction. And it is like quite annoying.
It happened to me in a place that I'll ask you about later. But regular transactions that are now involving tip. I'd say tipping is more prevalent, like in 30% of the transactions than pre-pandemic.
Agreed. Absolutely agree. I will say the CNBC article, though, was like saying that with delivery apps, like you can tip a lot. And it's like, well, you should tip on delivery.
Delivery is something I always tipped on.
Yeah,
not as much, but I always did tip.
It also used to be flat, right? Like you would just hand someone like $3, $5, whatever, $10.
It'd be sort of like a roundup thing for me.
Yeah. Or for me, it'd be like whatever cash I have on hand.
Yeah.
But now it's like a percentage. So like, is it the same amount of work if it's like a $25 meal versus a $45 meal? Like,
yeah, it is.
I know.
You put it in a bag and you take it to my house.
So then it should still be
You're
flat.
Getting tipped more.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm tipping a lot more. Like if someone broke down my yearly expenses at the end of the year and said, all right, in the year 2016, you tipped X. Now I'm tipping like 3X.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely more for me too. And it's all out of guilt
but
for
it
the
is,
most part.
There is a guilt pandemic thing because post-pandemic, I was like, these people in the service industry have gotten no income over the last 2 years. Let me just help make that up with just a little tiny bit that I can. But now I'm kind of like, all right, we're past that.
Yeah.
No masks.
I agree. Now it's a neighborhood thing.
Yes.
All right.
Oh, well, let me play my game.
I was waiting for you to get to it.
Sorry.
We've done like 5 minutes on this.
Sorry. Okay. Do you tip? Tiny tip or no tip?
Okay.
Quickly. Uber driver.
Tip.
Cashier at takeaway food, like smoothie.
No tip.
Dropping your car off at a valet or a parking lot.
Tip.
Picking it up at a valet or parking lot.
Tip. Oh, sorry. Just only picking up, not dropping
only
off.
Only picking up. Thank you. Yeah, I wouldn't do it dropping off either. Flight attendant.
No tip. They're not allowed to take it.
Oh, they are. Oh, they are.
They can't ask?
No, they can't refuse twice, I believe is the rule.
Oh, I see.
I always trick them into taking like $20 or whatever if they're nice
to me.
Okay. Starbucks.
No.
Starbucks is the one that kind of got me today.
Mm.
It was like I was like, can I have a peach tranquility tea? And they're like, I'm sorry, we're not allowed to sell just peach tranquility. I was like, what? I'm looking at the boxes back there. This is my personal food news, one of them.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, what? She can only sell it in like a mixed cocktail? Like, what is going on? You've got the peach tranquility tea bags there. And so it ended up being a long discussion where we kind of smiled about it. And then at the end, when I was like leaving, the thing popped up and was like $1, $2, or $3. I'm like, I got a tea.
Mm.
Why am I after tea? And I end up giving her a dollar for no reason.
Also, Starbucks, it kind of depends. And I just want to say, in general, Starbucks is not necessarily always labor friendly, but Starbucks offers benefits to a lot of its employees. And I think part of tipping is to account for wages that are like artificially or that are low and do not have benefits. And so also, if I know that a place like has full-time employees that do get benefits and healthcare, then I'm less likely to do it.
Mm.
So.
Great. Let's move on.
Okay. Next. I really thought this was an April Fool's.
We're still not sure.
We're still not sure. But apparently, maybe Julia Fox has teamed up with Velveeta to sell Velveeta cheese-colored hair dye.
So I first was exposed to this. If you follow the New York Knicks fan account, which I do, and they do who's in the front row, celebrities, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was Julia Fox. And I was like, that's Julia Fox? Because she had her hair looked like a cheese puff.
I would say every picture of her, she looks different. She always looks different because yes. She's basically like in a costume at all times.
Yes.
And I once again didn't recognize her, but the color of her hair, if it's not a wig, or even if it is a wig, is Velveeta cheese orange yellow. What color would you call this?
Orange yellow.
It's like the orange-yellow crayon.
Yes. But one of my favorite things is her quote about it. She goes, quote, the signature Julia Fox vibe is something that can't be explained and one that exudes confidence and continuously pushes the boundaries of the status quo, said Fox. She third-personed her own quote about her own vibe.
That's great. I mean, I think a vibe is a way in which I actually would accept third person.
Would you ever say the Juliet Littman vibe? Actually, yeah, sure.
Maybe.
Okay, back on me. You're right.
I think this is like actually an okay way of positioning it.
Okay, there you go. Back on me. So if you want your hair to look like Velveeta cheese.
That's now a possibility. And you
also,
can buy
$7.50
it
$7.50 at Amazon. I don't dye my hair, but very reasonable.
Very reasonable. And I don't think you need to like go to the salon for this color. So like if this is the color that you want,
do it
at home.
Yeah, go for it.
All right. Another story that I was not sure was not an April Fool's joke.
It's a great theme.
Anya Taylor-Joy, the star of The Queen's Gambit and soon to be Mad Max Furiosa. I'm excited about that.
I love Mad Max.
Yeah, me too. She got married 2 years ago and she just announced it apparently a few days ago. And she said 2 years ago on April Fool's, which is just another like making me nervous. Like
yeah.
This is a joke. She said, I secretly married my best friend. It was sort of like a goth themed or like some kind of like gothic themed wedding.
Way, a little bit.
And then the dessert was anatomically correct heart cake.
Okay.
So the cake looked like the human organ heart.
Okay. When I saw that, right, what I expected it to be was like a large cake that wasn't in a quote unquote heart shape that we're used to, like Valentine's Day hearts, but more had like ventricles mm-hmm. and things coming in and out of it.
Like
but
one when, large cake.
Yes. For multiple people, there was just a large heart cake.
Mm-hmm.
But what I was not ready for was what I saw on the Instagram carousel.
And it is an individual serving on just like a white platter. It looks like foam, which is two pieces of cake that both look like an anatomically correct heart on top of fake blood.
It looks like something that you would find in the freezer at the hospital. It doesn't look like it was just like, it looks like an actual heart. Like I was not ready for it to be so anatomically correct. I didn't know it was going to be to size and to color. And it's honestly very, very accurate. I have never seen a human heart outside or even inside a human body, but that's what I assume it looks like.
Me too, based on like what I've seen on doctor shows. She was still wearing white for the wedding. It had some birds on the dress. Quite a nice dress, I would say.
Yeah.
She's really close to this red dripping, so, like fake blood.
Good
really
point.
Worried about it getting on her dress.
Good point.
But then I was thinking, you know what? She probably would like that. She'd be like, it's just a great.
It did seem really goth.
Takeaway from the wedding.
I have no idea who this person is.
Super goth. Also, Cara Delevingne's in one of the pictures with her. So it's like a famous person's event.
Oh, great.
I always thought that she was like not American, but she is American. So that's like always like shocking to me.
Huh. Usually it's the other way around.
Yeah, I know. But she actually is. And I'm like, oh, okay. Or, you know, she, I think, grew up in America, though she was born, I think, in the UK. But yeah.
That still counts.
Sorry, she was born in Miami, but she's also a UK citizen. Anyway, she's basically American, and I always find it surprising.
Yeah, and she ate a heart.
She sure did.
Not a lot to share, though. If I went to the wedding, I'd be like, great, I'm glad you have a piece of cake, but where is mine?
Also, this has got to be the most expensive way to have wedding cake. Everyone needs to have an anatomically correct cake.
No, you think everyone got a heart?
I do. I don't think you're just doing it for yourself. And
I
don't know.
I thought they did it for the gram. I mean, it looks so much like a heart. So imagine someone had to make like 50 of those things.
I don't think they did it for the gram because it happened 2 years ago. She's been sitting on these pics.
Feels like a small wedding, too.
Yeah, so I guess you're growing big on getting everyone their personalized, anatomically correct heart cake.
Yes.
All right, let's move on. Tom Hanks went to opening day with the Oakland A's. Actually, I think he went to the Dodgers game, but he's an Oakland A's fan.
Fan, yep.
Yeah. And he brought his own coffee. Not only his own coffee like I do, like where I bring my own coffee with me, but like his own coffee brand, his Instant Hanks, H-A-N-X coffee.
Yes.
And I loved it. I love when people bring their own beverages places.
Well, you are a huge supporter of beverages, not just that. Bring your own beverages places. You're a huge supporter of caffeinated beverages. And you're a huge supporter of liquid IVs and bringing powders and putting them in waters. This is checking a lot of Juliet boxes.
I really want to try this, actually. I'm curious if it's good. I'm going to buy it online and we'll try it in a future episode. Don't you want to know if Tom Hanks makes good coffee?
But Sofia Vergara kind of like turned me off of instant coffee.
Yeah.
During that clip that we played where she was just like, instant. And they're like, yep, that's instant. And I was like, oh no, she knows.
I'm going to try it anyway.
Where do you think he got the hot water?
I'm really curious. Great question. Maybe he asked for a tea or something and he just got and didn't put the tea bag in.
Something like that.
Or perhaps he's Tom Hanks, so he was allowed to bring hot water into the game for the gram.
Quick side quest.
Mm-hmm.
I love the show Masters of the Air.
Sure.
And I watched it super hard with my son. And Tom Hanks has also a documentary about the Bloody 100th, which is the group of people that the show is about. Tom Hanks has had a lot to do with it, and it is an excellent program.
Nice. Check it out.
I cried a lot during it.
That wasn't a question.
No, it was a side. It was a quick aside.
They said side question.
Did I? Side quest? I think it was side quest, I meant to say. I mean, I would turn into a question. They end up talking about Masters of the Air more instead of our next story.
Okay. The world's oldest bread was discovered in Turkey, and it's really fucking old.
Yeah.
It dates back to 6600 BC.
However old you thought that bread was going to be, it is older.
That's 9,000 years old.
Yes.
Like, that's crazy.
8,624 years old.
It is very old. I don't even know what else to tell you, but it was preserved by being covered in clay, basically. And now it's like fermented yeast.
Isn't it just dirt at this point?
No, they said it's spongy.
Really?
Yes. And it was something, they found an oven that had wheat, barley, pea seeds, and a palm-sized round spongy residue.
Well, here's the natural follow-up question. Someone was supposed to eat that bread. What happened? Someone cooked the bread, made the bread, and then just died? They got eaten by a saber-toothed tiger or something? Like, what happened?
I don't know. I really don't know. It's unbelievable.
I don't know why. They didn't have, like, bakeries with, like, a surplus of bread back then, I imagine.
Maybe there was an earthquake and, I don't know, just all got, like, knocked over. Who's to say?
I don't know.
It was a really well-preserved site. I have to say, my Google feed has been offering me a lot of, like, archaeology stories lately. I also heard about a villa that was found in Scotland. Like, it was, like, evidence that the Romans were there and another one in France. So, like, my Google feed is filled with archaeological stories these days. Maybe it knows that I'll be going to Pompeii this summer, and that's why. All right, moving on. A story from the New York Post via Reddit. Jacoby.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to McDonald's, how long do you feel like you want to be able to stay inside of McDonald's? As you consider it, I'll just tell you.
No, I mean, here's the thing is, I don't want to stay at McDonald's any more than I have to. So if I'm answering this question personally, I'm going to get my food, eat my food, and get out ASAP.
So you need like 10 minutes.
Yeah, it'd be more than that, probably like 15, 20 minutes.
Okay, well, that's good because McDonald's and apparently Wendy's and other fast food places in certain locations are trying to impose a 30-minute time limit inside. I kind of get why.
I understand. When you read some of the anecdotes.
Yeah.
That one group of elderly people, like 14 elderly people that split one small fry and sit there for 4 hours. That'd be so annoying.
Counterpoint. I have a hard time believing they were like taking up space from other people. Like, was that really like room that had to go to someone else?
Yeah, like someone standing there with a tray just staring at these 14 old people.
Yeah, it's not like Bryant Park in the summer trying to get a table.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, you know, I understand why this happens at McDonald's. Like, if you have a fucking playground inside your restaurant, I think it's fair to assume that kids are going to want to stay a while. Like,
yes.
That's like partially on them. I understand that's not who they're targeting.
I don't think that's exactly who they're going after. I think it's the homeless people showering in the bathroom is more like what they're getting after.
That's a problem too. But I would just say like this, it's really just a problem probably for the employees, but like it's not like taking away from other customers, but maybe from the overall experience. I don't know.
It's got to be hard if you're working at McDonald's and someone's been there for a while and the manager goes over to you and is like, can you get that person to leave? I'd be like, no.
I know. Also, like, that shouldn't be
anyone's
job. That's
got to be my job. Yeah.
Like, that, like, if you're hired to take orders, like, you shouldn't have to all be, like, also be in charge of, like, crowd control.
Yeah. That sounds like a security official.
I agree. Anyway, this won't affect us because I too do not want to be there for more than 15 minutes.
Yeah, the smell. I feel like there's grease on my skin just by being inside there.
Also, it's like those plastic benches, not comfortable. I'm not looking to like kick it.
It doesn't bother me that much.
All right, next. Amazon had introduced stores where you walked in, you picked up what you wanted, and then you just walked out. You just went through like a barrier that is motion sensitive, so it knows when you're ready to leave or whatever.
Yes.
No scanning, no payment.
Just walk out, it's called.
Just walk out. They're no longer doing this. But it did exist. But they pulled the plug on it. And you and I have both actually experienced these.
Yes.
I did it. I've been to one in the Delta terminal at LAX.
There's one at Barclays, which is where the Nets play basketball in the Liberty. And it's an American Express one here, not an Amazon one. But you walk in, they scan your card. And then you grab beers and drinks and snacks or whatever. And then you like look at the person who's working there. You're like, you mean I just like leave? They're like, yeah, you just leave.
Yeah,
I'm
just
like, are you sure? It feels so counterintuitive to my entire like 44 years of experience leading up to that point that I need to like be trained. I need to be like retrained that this is okay.
It's also so creepy. It's like, what is the technology that's in here that's tracking all this shit? So and how do you know what my credit card is?
I grabbed a beer and I was like, is there a sensor under this? Did I just buy it?
There must be a sensor underneath it. I guess you do just scan your credit card and you walk in,
just to get in.
Yeah.
Yeah. They scan to get in, but then they follow you around, but they don't have a sensor underneath the beer.
It's so crazy.
They just know what you got.
It uses like a ton of cameras and they are going to keep using it in some Amazon Go stores and also in the UK, but it's no longer going to be used by like a third party like Amex.
10 minutes.
Weird.
It's all just pretty creepy. All right, one more story. It's a follow-up, and then we'll get into our taste test. Remember last year we talked about how Trader Joe's was being sued for having metal in their chocolate?
Yes. Yeah.
They're off the hook. The lawsuit has been dismissed.
Turns out.
Not enough metal to make a difference.
Yes, not a big deal.
All good, everybody. I will say I still don't like love the idea of it when you tell me, but like probably a lot of the food I eat has shit in it that I'm like, yeah, I don't love that, but I'll just carry on doing it.
Can I add one more story that's on the list that I wanted to talk about?
Sure.
Boston Market, going away.
Yeah.
Do you have any experience at Boston Market?
Yeah, there used to be one on Broadway between 88th and 89th.
It was a solid experience. It didn't have that like burger and fries or like Taco Bell feeling where I just ate absolute trash and now it's in my stomach.
I think it didn't at the beginning, but it quickly turned, I think, into like pretty fast foody.
Yeah, I guess so. But I'm talking about like more like 1997, 98 when it was like really popular. You'd get a rotisserie chicken breast, you get a little mac and cheese. Get some like mixed vegetables. It was kind of like a real like it was more like a 1950s television dinner, but like in the 90s
a
at
Norman
a restaurant.
Rockwell dinner,
yeah. It was very much that, and I enjoyed it.
They had good mashed potatoes.
Yeah,
I
liked it.
I'm sorry for your loss.
Me or everyone?
You. I think most people are okay with it.
I think so too. Apparently.
All right, let's move into today's taste test, courtesy of David Jacoby.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit jiffylube.com. This episode is brought to you by Vuori. I love sports. I know you do too. I also know that lots of you exercise, but if you're like me and my wife, the beloved sports gal, you're sick and tired of ugly, uncomfortable workout gear, especially, you know, I do a lot of walking. I walk around LA. I make calls. I listen to podcasts. Here are two words that will change everything. Vuori clothing, a line of activewear that is unbelievable. The best thing about Vuori is you can lounge around in it. You can work out in it. You can go outside. You can go shopping down in your local, wherever. And you never feel like you're either underdressed or overdressed. You're just comfortable. You can wear it when you're training, traveling, lounging around the house. Go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. Here's the deal. Our listeners get 20% off their first purchase at Vuori.com/Simmons. Once again, Vuori.com/Simmons. This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
Okay, this has been, we're hitting on two internet trends,
okay,
right? One is the Calimocho, right? The Calimocho is, it's a Spanish drink, and it combines two beverages that are very popular individually. A dry red wine and Coca-Cola, or cola for that matter. I've also decided to make the dry red wine a Josh Cabernet Sauvignon. I don't know why,
where'd
but
you
Josh,
buy it?
Josh is all over the internet.
Oh, yeah. I think it's because it's like relatively cheap.
I bought it at a liquor store here on Fulton Street, which I used to live next to.
Cool.
And the same guy is behind the counter.
Oh, my God. Did he remember you?
No, but I remembered him. And I was like, you look great. And he was speaking Spanish on the phone. He's like, one of my old customers just told me I look great. I can hear him said, it's loosely translated. I don't know if that's exactly what he said. He said something like that. So we're going to try one version with Diet Coke. And one version with Coca-Cola.
Okay.
Obviously, the Coca-Cola version is going to be sweeter and better, but it is produced with both. It is equal parts dry red wine and cola. Normally, there is a lemon garnish.
This is a huge cup of, what's it called again? Mochaccello?
Calimocho.
Calimocho.
Mochaccello sounds good, though.
Calimocho.
Yeah. Mochaccello sounds like a psychedelic mushroom latte that you get with chocolate that you get at Coachella. Would you like a mochaccello?
I would love
Don't have to.
I'm going to open a restaurant called Mochaccello.
You should.
Why
you
not?
Should. Sounds
right.
Great. Okay.
I'm having the regular Coke.
You're having the regular Coke.
This is a huge cup.
I know.
Of Calimocho.
I know.
Limoncello. Mochaccello.
Limoncello. We should do another taste test. Your thoughts? I'm going to do Coke.
It's good.
Really?
Yeah. It's delicious.
Really?
It's like, I like it. It's kind of like, I don't even know how to describe it, but I like it a lot.
Oh, yeah.
It's really good.
That is good.
I'm having Diet Coke now.
That is good.
Also, it really cuts the wine in a way.
Yeah.
But I still feel the wine aftertaste in my belly.
That is way better than I thought it was going to be.
It's good with Diet Coke, too.
Let me try.
It's good.
Wow. Half red wine.
Huh. Yeah.
Half cola.
That's delicious. I could see getting really drunk on that.
Yeah, it would take me about 35 of those to get drunk, but it would work.
Oh, I need like three more
sips. Oh, those
are
good.
That's really delicious.
But imagine like you're having a house party in Los Angeles next to a pool.
Someone's just handing
these things out.
I was just thinking like a frat party. Like this is such a cheap drink too.
Yeah.
And be like, wow, look at this fancy thing we have. Calimocho. Mochaccello.
It's Josh wine and Coca-Cola.
Diet Coke. Yeah. So you go to Costco and you're fucking set if your Costco sells wine.
Yeah.
If not, you go to BevMo or whatever.
Great.
This is delicious.
That's good. Calimocho. Who knew? Yeah.
This is one of the best internet things we've tried, actually.
Yes.
And so simple.
So much better than skinny water, whatever it's called.
Sexy water?
Sexy water.
I also wonder, you know, this will be a personal follow-up that I'll do, maybe. I actually think this probably benefits from being a cheap wine. I wonder if like a fuller bodied wine, it would be worse.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I think this actually, like, it's a good way of doing it. So college kids, get on it.
Well, I spent $19 on this.
Drink responsibly. That Josh wine cost $19?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
It's Cab Sav.
Big markup here in Brooklyn. Sheesh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got to talk to my man. Forgot about me.
Okie dokie, Jacoby. Oh, that rhymes. I've never said before.
Whoa.
Personal
we have
food
a
news.
New transition term. You're on food news.
This is really exciting. Okay. I decided I was, I've become afraid of microplastics in water.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You're one of those, huh?
Yeah. And I just was like, my Brita's not cutting it anymore. So I don't think that like I'm going to save my life by doing this, but I got a new water pitcher for the first time in 20 years. I switched brands. Like, it's a big deal to
so
move
you're
away.
Off Brita.
I moved away from Brita. And
quick, before you do this, we yeah. have one as well. How often did you change the filter?
Twice a year.
So is that biannually?
Yeah.
What's every 2 years?
Semi, less than, I don't know. There's no word for that.
Oh, well, that's when I change.
Every 2 years.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm like, what is this even doing at this point?
For that kind of shit, I'm a big Amazon subscribe and save person.
Oh.
So kind of it's just like a natural reminder.
You're
like,
really good at Amazon.
This. Yeah, well, you just discovered it, so you're still learning.
Fair. Maybe it's a me thing. Maybe I'm bad at Amazon.
So I got a new water pitcher and I like it. It's called the Life Straw. It also is like one of these companies has like a charitable arm where like if you buy one, they donate something. And I'm like, just donate anyway. You don't need me to buy one. But anyway, they do that. They also make like a water filter that you take on the go. So if you're traveling or you live somewhere where the water isn't as clean, you can use their water bottle to be able to use tap water.
Oh, I get it.
And it's, yeah, the Life Straw pitcher. I just wanted to recommend it for anyone who's also afraid of microplastics and think they can make a difference in their own home.
How big is the pitcher?
Big. It actually takes a long time to fill up.
Oh, I like that.
And it is, I had to like readjust the shelves in my fridge to accommodate the pitcher.
No way.
It's tall. It's not as like, it's just like a different shape, but it's like tall. It's nice looking. I really like it. I'm all in on the Life Straw brand.
Well, you have to be because you've already
I've
moved.
Committed.
You took all the stuff off one of your shelves in your fridge and then put this, readjusted your whole fridge. So you're committed to this.
I am committed and I feel good about it. I don't know. If you also want to move away from Brita, just consider it. Also, it's like a, I think a Scandinavian brand. So that also makes me feel good. I always feel like they like know what they're doing with design and shit.
Yeah, of course.
So anyway, Life Straw, check it out.
Mine is more like a food, personal food news follow-up.
Love, great.
You're at Just Salad like at least 3 times a day.
A lot,
yeah.
Sometimes on Sundays, very embarrassing.
So I was trying to find something quick to eat before the show that was healthy because I just came from the doctor. So, you know, it's like brushing your teeth before going to the dentist. And I was like, I'm going to get a Just Salad. And I went in there. I was going to use the app. And I was like, you know what? I'm right there. So let me go in and have this experience. And I went in there. It was absolute chaos. I had the protein something.
A bowl?
No. The bowl, it was a salad.
Oh.
It didn't have grains in it. But
it did or did not?
Did not.
Oh.
2 minutes.
And I didn't make adjustments because my sister-in-law once told me, like, they know what they're doing.
Mm.
Like, you always think you're going to customize your own salad. But
I don't like to do custom.
Yeah,
it's too
she's like, yeah, she's just like,
also,
they know what they're doing.
More likely to screw it up than if you get something that's preset.
Exactly. So I got a preset one, and they're like, what dressing do you want? I was like, whatever it comes with. And I have to say, it was fantastic.
Just Salad is really reliable. Also, across locations, the consistency is very high.
Yeah.
It's just a really good chain. They do something smart that I feel like here on Food News we can appreciate. They have in-store exclusives and app exclusives. So, like, it encourages you to, like, when you're there, look around, but then also, like, use the app to get, like, a digital-only menu item, too. So, like, they kind of have a lot of different pathways to, like, finding your favorite thing. And moves pretty quickly.
I do have a note.
Mm.
I like a smoothie. You know, I love smoothies. and I wanted to get a smoothie, too. And the gentleman who I spoke to was making my salad. And I was like, well, I'd like a smoothie as well. He goes, well, you talk to the cashier to get a smoothie. So I go to the cashier and I go, may I have a smoothie? And they had pre-made smoothies, which is nice at a grab-and-go kind of place. You don't have to wait an extra 10 minutes. And then she takes the smoothie out. And I was like, do I pay for the smoothie first? And then the salad's like, no, you pay for both at once. And I was like, well, can I have the smoothie while they're making my salad?
And the answer was no.
No.
Like, damn it.
They're like, no, you cannot. I'm like, I'm going to pay for it.
One thing I like about it is when you walk in, they ask you your name. Like, I always use the app to order.
Yeah.
And like, they ask they're like, if they haven't made it for you yet and they see you walk in. Oh, yeah,
that's happened to me before as well.
They get on it right away. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
That was individual to the one location that I went to.
It's company policy.
Oh, I do like that. They're kind of like, we are going to expedite you.
You're here.
You might be 15th in line digitally, but since you exist in person, IRL,
you're here.
We're going to move you to the front.
Yes.
That is a great policy.
It's great policy. I really appreciate it.
Just this one young lady that goes that works at this one that I go to.
Company policy. It's fantastic.
Great. Just salad. Super digital high five for you guys.
I know. I love it.
But let me drink my smoothie while you're making my salad. I'm going to pay for it.
It's fair. Yeah. All right. Let's get into the listener food news from Eunice in California.
Eunice.
Hi, Juliet and Jacoby. My name is Eunice from California, and I'm a longtime listener, big fan.
Thanks.
My question is, if you could have a beverage dispensed from each one of your fingers on one hand, which vibe are you choosing? And the more specific, the better. For example, Juliet, you'll probably choose a La Colombe coffee. Thanks.
That's an incredible question.
Holy shit. I think we have to start pre-screening these so I have like answers ready. Because this is like, what are your top five beverages on a desert island?
Yeah, I'm ready to go. But
can I just say this? The fucking imagination that you have to just put it as dispensed from your fingers is like,
I love
Eunice is a genius.
I hope that Eunice writes children's books.
Absolute genius, because that is perfect way of saying, what are your top five desert island beverages?
And also that you can just snap your finger.
Yes.
Snap a different finger. Like, no, it's just there.
Is that you snap to activate? I think you just mentally control it.
I don't know.
You're snaptivating?
Okay, here's what I'm going. Right. She's correct.
You are ready. She's ready for this already. Phil, give me some time.
La Colombe iced coffee.
Done. Eunice already called that.
Duh. Thanks, Eunice. Coke Zero, obviously.
Oh, right. Of course.
Very specifically, I want Perrier sparkling water. That is my preferred sparkling
water.
Not
too bubbly for you.
No, I like it. It's really good. Perrier is my favorite.
Okay.
It's right in the middle. It's like not the tiny bubbles, not the really big bubbles.
Pellegrino's too bubbly.
I like Pellegrino too, but Perrier is my choice.
Okay.
Three. An Arnold Palmer.
You're on four already.
Sorry, four. An Arnold Palmer. I basically always want an Arnold Palmer. I don't think I can commit full time to my fourth finger having a hibiscus iced tea Arnold Palmer.
No.
But I'm close to it. But I'm just going to go with black iced tea and regular Arnold Palmer.
I have a follow-up question and a recommendation.
Okay.
Follow-up question. What part lemonade, what part iced tea is your Arnold Palmer?
65-35 tea lemonade.
65-35?
Yeah.
Oh.
I go heavy on the tea.
I thought you would have been heavy on the tea. I thought you would have been more like 66-33. Usually that's how people break it down. Those extra 2 points. The extra point means a lot to you. All right. Just recommendation.
Okay.
Three of your four fingers are now caffeinated.
That's fine.
Okay, I just wanted to point that out. Just wanted to point it out.
All good.
Just wanted to say it out loud.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
It's your fingers, your beverages. Just wanted to present your attention.
I appreciate it. I feel great about it.
Okay.
Number five, watermelon juice.
Wow. 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 Wow.
Yeah.
These are great.
Thanks.
All right. I'm going to blow you away a little bit.
Okay.
Because I've got these five fingers and I want a variety of different beverages. And listen, Eunice didn't like set any rules,
sure.
So I can do whatever I want.
Sure.
I'm going with like a super healthy green smoothie.
Okay.
Right? I'm going with that with one.
Okay.
Another one.
Can I say one thing?
What?
I think super healthy green smoothie as a beverage is inherently unhealthy. As a meal, healthy. So how are you thinking about it?
I can have it whenever I want. It's like the first thing I'm going to have in the morning when I wake up is going to coat my belly.
Okay.
I love smoothies. You know that about me. I'm a big smoothie person. Super healthy is probably the wrong way to put it. A green smoothie.
Okay.
That involves like bananas and some natural sugars, right?
Great.
A green smoothie.
Okay.
Number two, I'm going with a beef bone broth.
Oh, wow. That's gross, but okay.
Basically soup.
Okay.
Right?
Great loophole for you.
Yeah. I can work soup into this. Number three, I'm assuming I get water without my fingers.
Probably.
But I liked your sparkling water idea, but I'm going to go with the Saratoga sparkling water.
Nice one. Top Chef sponsored, okay?
Yes. Very good. With my fourth finger, I think I need a coffee.
Okay.
Right? So in solidarity, and I'll go with our future sponsor, La Colombe Iced Coffee.
Great one.
How many times do we have to mention you guys? Jesus.
I think we actually have a better shot now that Chobani bought them. Like, Chobani is probably more likely to do podcast advertising than La Colombe.
But I also feel
company.
Like someone in the marketing department, La Colombe, has been brought to their attention.
They'll be like,
so what
do
we do?
Do
we're
going
to buy mentions on the program?
We'll never do this.
We already got it for free.
I know.
And I have one more finger. Right now, I've got a green smoothie, bone broth, Saratoga, iced coffee, I'm going to go with like the freshest orange juice that you've ever had in your life.
That sounds great.
So no booze from either of you.
No.
Fuck!
Not for me.
Fuck! Great. See, that's why producer Mike is the best. Yeah. What? Yeah, I got a vodka finger.
Okay, great.
Shit, then I'm replacing Saratoga with the orange juice.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, yeah, if you're going to have vodka, you need a mixer.
Exactly. So. Can't put it in the green smoothie. Can't put it in the coffee.
That's a really fucking good question. Yeah. Eunice crushed it.
That was a great question. And you know what? Eunice did a great job and producer Mike did a great job.
Thank you so much to both of you.
Yes.
That is correct, by the way. Producer Mike Wargon produced this episode. And we'll all be back next week.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.